Happy to be welcoming Quincy Ward 5 City Councilor Chuck Phelan to the program today. Chat a little bit about the budget process the City Council is going through, but also some other areas of interest here in the city. So Chuck, great to see you. Thanks
good
for coming
over. Good to see you, Joe. Yeah. Great to be here.
It's been a little while, actually, since we had an update.
Yeah, I think it was probably about a year ago. Yeah.
As everybody, we're slowly getting back.
We're getting back to normal slowly.
Routine, yeah. As I mentioned, the budget process is just about wrapped up now, right?
It's actually all wrapped up. It's been done and voted on, and actually the budget is all done. It's a long process. It starts in February for most city department heads, and you go through and you figure out some of the highlights from this year's budget. There was really not a lot of extra new things in this budget, and unfortunately, the city had the same problems as a lot of us have. You know, costs went up, things went up, what we were paying for, and everything has gone up. There was a 2% raise for the employees, and contractual raises and everything. But in the end, there really wasn't a lot of new things in the budget.
Were there any significant cuts that you can think of?
There was some in the retirement costs because they had figured it a little wrong, and after looking at it, I think we got $75,000. We cut our own pay raise.
Right.
So probably in total almost about $150,000 in cuts is what we did. But a lot of those, I mean, there was the feelings by the councilors with everything going on, we didn't want to raise our pay.
Right. Yeah.
So it was a vote to cut that out of the budget, and we cut that out. There was some money reallocated to give a 3% pay raise to our employees who hadn't received anything in over 3 years. So those are the people that are there every day, work every day.
Right, and through the pandemic they did too.
And they worked right through the pandemic. Yep. So at that point we gave that to them. There was some additional police officers we hired. And that was because we've got so many retirements and stuff coming up that we're trying to stay ahead of it to actually keep the numbers at where they are.
Right.
You know, we're back up to a manning level that we haven't seen since the mid-90s. And I think we want to keep it there. And this was a way of doing it. And it will be actually, in the end, that budget will actually go down because there'll be a lot of senior police officers retiring.
Yes. Yeah, I know Captain Dugan is stepping down this year. Probably the chief is up next year,
I think it's for the police, it's mandatory at 65. Okay. If you're 65 years old in public safety, it would be police and fire, you're mandated to retire.
I see.
You
know, okay.
Both of them have long and very distinguished careers with the city of Quincy. I mean, I think they're close to 40 years, being a police officer, Paul's been chief now for almost 12 years.
Yes,
So, and he's done a great job leading the Quincy Police. So, a lot of those people, they're experienced people that we're losing that stayed right till the end, and we're very grateful that we had them.
Yeah, I think the chief said 175 uniformed officers is kind of the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give or take five.
And you look at the number of calls they're handling and the things they have to handle today. Our call volume has increased. Mm. And the 911 and all that, and it very quickly there's so many patrol. I think it's 13 cruisers plus sergeants, and you can see any night those getting used up very fast.
Oh yeah.
So there's definitely a need for it, and moving forward. But pretty much everything else in the budget is status quo what it was last year. There was some additional money added in for new people at Furnace Brook Golf Course. Mm-hmm. Who that has become a city golf course now, but that's working on the what they're bringing in for revenues is more than going to cover the costs of what's being put up there. I mean, there is some discussion with the neighborhood on what's going on. Yep. I know Councilor Kane is kind of on top and leading that discussion. You know, should they expand the golf course? Should they not? And that's kind of running into with the neighborhood, but. This very active group. They don't want some of the trees cut down. They get some legitimate concerns.
Sure.
I know Councilor Kane is working on those.
Yeah, with the pension bond obligation, Chuck, that was approved. Does that add to the city's debt in in the budget?
It did add to the city's debt, but if we would have had to come up, last year it was $32 million we had to come up with. This year, it's even more. Every year it becomes more and more, so it could be as much as, but what happened was by doing that, we brought it down to a $9 million.
Wow.
It's like if you had a mortgage on your house and you were paying 7.5% interest and you brought it to, and you knew you could add a few more years on to paying it back and putting in and bringing it down to 2% interest. That's what we did, basically.
Okay.
And that made a significant, and every year after this, it will even be more of a drop in what we're paying. So it was something that we had to pay, and by 2034, we would have had to pay it. And that would have totally ate up what was in the budget. In the budget process, if you take police, fire, schools, and your DPW, you have 85% of the budget is already taken. So a lot of what's in the other departments is, if you look at, you know, the budget book had it broken down, what slice of the pie they're getting, you usually see it's very small, you know, in increments. So most of our money goes to, I mean, the big three, which is police, fire, and schools. Yep. That's where most of our money goes.
That's like that in most communities.
It's very much like it.
And, sure.
And then you have costs that are fixed. For probably almost 90% of the budget costs are fixed because of employee benefits and health care and different things that is pretty much fixed. There's only a little sliver left to do a lot of the other things. So, you know, the council went through, there's a lot of good questions. We had several long nights going through the budget.
Yeah.
And a lot of councilors brought up some good points and some good things were changed and some things, you know, remained the same. And we can only subtract, we can't add to the budget.
Right.
So.
Or approve as is.
As is, yeah. So, you know, the finance committee, this is usually the busiest time for it because we had one Monday night, which we were talking about the RDP down here in Quincy Square.
Yes,
there's a whole thing, and we didn't do anything. We just discussed it, went through. We got the history of the DIF funding and what it's meant for the city, and we went through a whole thing like that. So that was kind of big, and that was Monday night. But there was questions by councilors, so the thing was held in committee. It wasn't passed.
Okay,
and then tonight we're back at it again, and this is the mayor's CIP. Capital Improvement Fund.
Yeah.
And then we're also doing some sewer and water issues.
Yep.
That are bonds that are taken to continue to upgrade our sewer and water around the city, but they're also either interest free from the MWRA, which today, if you look at interest rates, it's a pretty good deal.
I think they're going up today as we speak.
Very low interest rates, so that doesn't add a lot onto the burden. I mean, it's still paid for through your sewer and water fees, but it doesn't add significantly to the burden on that, on those.
It's separated from the tax base.
But, you know, it is a fee people have to pay.
Oh, sure,
And it still goes up. I think what we try to do is make sure it goes up at a very slow rate that we're meeting. But I think you can turn on your tap and drink your water. I know that's not the same in every town around here, but it is a high quality water and high quality sewer system that we have. That it sounds boring, but it's actually pretty.
Until you don't have it, then
until
it's
you don't have
not
it,
boring
and
then at all.
For health and all that. So those are also things we're going to be doing. And a big issue that I've got a lot of emails and calls on is the animal shelter.
Oh, really? Okay, $15 million,
right.
Plus the $7 million that's already been spent to build the road.
A lot of that money was to build the road and prepare the land. I mean, in Quincy, you don't have a lot of open land left.
Right.
And this was one area we have that was still open and could be used for, you know, it was used for the dog park originally.
Yep.
We did the antenna for the Quincy Police, which is
that's up there, too.
Which is up there, too. And then we're going to be putting in the animal shelter. Everyone I'm talking to, I haven't received anyone who's against it.
Is that right?
It's pretty much all extremely for it. And I do agree because it's something that's kind of long overdue. Mm. And we have, if you just look at the licenses at the clerk's office, the number of dogs we have, and those are the people who give us licenses. But it's also a shelter for everything.
Yes.
I mean, it's not just the dogs. And having been on the city council before, I can remember when it was totally run by the city and what we used to pay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was a large amount of money we
is
used
that
to
right?
pay.
Yeah.
And right now, the shelter is manned by volunteers. There's one director who does receive a salary, but everything else is manned by volunteers.
Yes,
and
yep.
One of the things is that cost is dramatically down from what, even when we had, we called it the dog pound in those days.
Sure, yeah.
And we're not, in those days, if a dog was taken off the street, it was, if the owner didn't come claim it, it was euthanized. And, you know, now it's
a no-kill shelter.
No-kill shelter.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have done an excellent job of running that. And we've been fortunate as a city where we don't bear the cost. This is one of the costs we need to bear, is putting in an animal shelter that's state of the art. And again, it's not just dogs anymore. You know, it's not the stray dogs that are grabbed in the neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We still have the animal control offices, but it can be all kinds of different animals
yes.
end up in there.
Yeah, and I know the canine unit for the police department will be part of that
will
as well.
Will be part
right?
of that as
yeah.
well. And I think it's a nice fit.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that is definitely way overdue and needed. We're going to have all the plans and everything before us tonight. It's like anything else. I'm in the middle of a renovation on my house, and everything is going up in cost.
Oh, there's no question.
And
yeah,
that's kind of one of the things we started. A few years ago, everything was coming in under budget.
Yes, yes.
Now nothing is coming in
right.
under budget. It's all coming in over budget, and that's kind of the world we live in
yeah.
right now.
Oh, and oh, by the way, there's a new police station to build as
right.
well, and that's, I'm sure, going to need more money than was
yeah.
originally funded. Yeah.
But they have plenty of money to get going and doing the stuff
sure.
they need to do now. So I think that will be something that will be done later on. I'm not at this point expecting them to the administration to come in looking for more money
okay.
on that.
Okay, all right.
So right now that's kind of off in the distance, but there is an understanding that we might need to do something there.
Yeah. Do you feel comfortable with, I know a lot of concerns have been raised about the debt that the city has incurred. Do you think it's in a safe place?
You know, we're talking to, you know, the people in control. We're actually in a place, we're actually in a good place.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of that debt was lower interest rates.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, unfortunately, some of those interest rates are gone now. But luckily, most of what we've done has been bonded out at that point. We're still at the rate that the Department of Revenue says we should be at.
Okay.
And if you look at our bonding agencies, if we were over, we'd be going down, not
right.
going up. If they thought we were in a point where we didn't have enough money. I mean, it's always a juggling act
mm-hmm,
because you
mm-hmm.
don't want to raise the taxes. I mean, it's always a thing. Do you raise taxes? You're not, and you know, it's the tough part of doing this. But these are all projects. Most of the projects we're doing, if we don't do them, it's going to just cost us more. It's pay me now or pay me later.
Yes. Yeah. Well, for instance, the capital improvement plan. Right. You've got $15 million for the animal shelter, but
right.
also $7 million for public buildings.
For public buildings,
yeah.
A lot of those are for boilers, a lot of boilers that are out, and in the end, those will also save us money down the road
mm-hmm.
because it's going to save us on energy costs are going to be critical at this point. And there's a whole breakdown that we've received, and it's a lot of. I haven't gone through all the paperwork. There's nothing that's not essential to be done right away. It's all. I mean, there's almost 40 buildings in the city, and it's the schools alone are, you know,
but 17 of those, I think,
17,
right there.
And if you take all the, it's probably over 20 buildings
mm-hmm.
that just with the schools.
Oh, with the ancillary buildings
yeah.
to go with them, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So there's a lot of the money is for maintenance, just keeping them up and running, which
yeah.
were actually required by the state, can come in and that's kind of, so there's a lot of things in there, but I think they're all actually good, you know, things that, I guess they're not just needs, they're actually wants that have to be, you know, the things that need to be done.
Yeah.
So none of the ones I viewed was things that can be put off or anything like that.
And okay. And then I think $3 million for new vehicles.
New
well.
Vehicles.
Yeah.
And one of the things we, they're broken down all the way from school buses to police cars to bucket trucks
mm-hmm.
for both TPAL and for Parks Department. What the council has tried to do is ask the city to look into putting hybrid vehicles
mm-hmm.
where we're using electric vehicles, and especially with gas prices now, it becomes almost imperative. But there are also certain vehicles that don't apply to it. So one of the things, it's a mixture of vehicles. We're going to be a lot of people who don't need these big trucks or anything like that. We can go electric on those, even school buses.
Okay.
We're looking at electric school buses. That technology has come light years from what it was.
The MBTA is looking at it, so yeah. Why not municipalities?
Yeah, so we're buying new school buses. That's part of the $3 million. And those will be electric school buses. And we're going to be buying a lot of cars that are going to be electric. The good news is by buying these, we get credit with the state, and there are reimbursements on those electric vehicles. So we will be applying for those. So although we're fronting the money ahead, should be money coming back from doing that. That we're hoping to use, and that's one of the things that it's looking at. It's starting to transform our fleet, and especially with gas prices. It makes perfect sense at this point.
I think even the regular consumers are starting to consider, you know.
Yeah, and what's happening as production becomes more and more on electric vehicles, the price goes down. Mm-hmm. A lot of our vehicles are bought off the state contract, where they put a consortium of cities and towns together.
Oh, okay.
And we get what's a fairly good price.
Like a pool price, sort of.
Yeah. So City of Quincy has a lot of vehicles, but if you put us in with Quincy, Weymouth, Braintree, and all the other municipalities around here, I think it's the metro region is where, I know, for example, that's where a lot of the police cars are bought.
I see, okay.
And it takes everyone, and so instead of going in and say, well, we have these 20 vehicles we want, you know, they're going in saying, hey, we have 100 vehicles we want.
Right.
And so you get a better price. But a third of everything we have here is going to be electric.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and the other half, like the bucket trucks, there's some other, they really haven't come up with a decent electric alternative.
Yeah, I can't picture an electric snowplow.
And these things are breaking down and they have to be replaced.
Yeah.
They're all over 10 years old.
Okay.
And they've just hit their life expectancy, and they're in constant breakdown. They're actually costing us more money to keep them on the road. And those are bucket trucks that go up and fix traffic lights and fix, you know, street lights and different things like that.
Yep.
Have to be done. And it's just those need to be done. There's some big dump trucks they use for snow plowing too. And there's just not a good electric alternative.
Right, not yet anyway.
And we had an Engrig come in and look at our entire fleet and basically say what could be electric, what could not.
Oh, all
and
right.
So we've kind of got a fairly good idea, and a lot of these vehicles that we will be buying, probably for the first time, will be electric vehicles.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Going green here in Quincy.
Yeah, we're going to, you know, we're part of the net zero.
Yeah, that's right.
For the state. So the good news is every time we do something like this, we get payback from the state for doing it. So it's economic sense on both what we're driving, it's economic for the fuel costs, it's economic for the state, for the city getting reimbursed on these vehicles, and it's also, it's just a good practice, and I think you were saying that these things are becoming readily available now, and the prices have come way down on them. As they get more and more into production, the prices have come down,
sure.
And so actually it's a win for the environment, but it's also a good win financially for the city.
Can we talk a little bit about the one wild card in the financial aspect of the city was the ARPA funds that the city got, $46 plus million dollars.
Yes.
Do you think they've been spent appropriately so far?
A lot of the items I have seen, they have.
Okay.
The mayor recently gave a breakdown of all that.
Right.
I think some of the things were issues that were going on for like the old VERC, which was one in my area. That was sitting
the
there.
Rental car agency. It was a transmission place before that.
Yeah, it was a gas station years and years ago, and no one ever took the tanks out.
Right.
So there was some environmental problems. Plus, that bridge needs to be repaired, and they're also going to need to widen the intersection. If you go down there during rush hour, try to get by. You know, it's not set up for cars to take left-hand or hand turns,
right.
And that's something that they're going to be looking to do with that thing. So that was actually a good expense. You know, I guess the controversial one is the Monroe Building.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with these, and this is my second time around. The first time, all federal funds were voted on by the city council.
Right.
And now they're not. We don't have the review. We don't review them. It's basically up to the mayor, the executive officer. Now, if that was a town, it might be the town selectman.
Right.
But in Quincy, it's the mayor, and that's the form of government we're under. So he has to do that. But a lot of the money I've seen were for good projects that are going to, you know, I remember back when I was on the council the first time, mm-hmm. we bought that part of that marina back over by Quirk, Nissan there, by the Sutter Tide Mill. Yep. And there was a whole plan to do that, and it never really came to fruition.
I remember that,
And so what he did by buying is actually clean up that area because it is a mess, and to give a place for the lobster fleet to go out of and everything. And that was the original, when we did it, it was originally to provide a place because the as marinas were being built, they were forcing the fishing fleet of Quincy out. And that's originally what it was trying to do. And now they're trying to do some other things with it. So I don't think that was a bad thing to do. And I've looked at and seen what he spent it on. A lot of the things were things that were really badly needed for the city. So
a lot of nonprofits, I know, got
a lot of nonprofits. Yeah. And you think of what went on during that pandemic. There's tons of stuff that happened. I mean, and they had to step up, provide more meals. I mean, I was at one time the head of Quincy Community Action and for many years, and I know what they do, and I know, and they, all of a sudden their whole mission got thrown in the interface shelter and stuff like that, the food pantries and stuff, all of a sudden got kicked into overdrive, and there wasn't a lot, and there was no new money coming in.
That's right.
So I think a lot of that went to provide things for the city that helped during that, and I think it was appropriate what he sent the money.
And I think there's still a little over $9 million left. So
I mean, I would like to see, there are certain things that I do agree with some of the councils say. I would like to see, like, for example, we're talking infrastructure down in Quincy Square on the URDP. Mm-hmm. I will, instead of taking that on the taxpayers, if we have opportunities, we should be taking money from that state and federal money for infrastructure for that. And that's improving infrastructure. That's also, when the medical office building comes in, we're looking at an increasing number of jobs. So you're looking at a lot of good things that are going to come off of these things.
Right.
And I think they would, we should be applying for those funds and using some of that instead of constantly going back to the taxpayers. And I know, having conversations with the mayor's office, that's one of the things they are planning on
doing.
So
do you anticipate that diff being passed this session, Chuck, or do you think?
I think that that's what they're looking for, but I mean, there was a lot of questions and some things happened, so I know we've given those all out, and we're probably going to be doing another finance committee meeting right before the next council meeting.
So
it's going to be a busy couple of weeks.
Do you agree with the plan, the DIF plan downtown?
Yes, I do, because you never would have got everything you got now if you hadn't done that stuff. You would have had the same Quincy Square, and the diff really doesn't hit the tax rate. And actually, the stuff we were presented last Monday night show that extra money is going back to the city. I mean, you take the diff taxes, and it pays off the bonds as your values have gone up. Which there was from 2006 to 2022, we got graphs showing us where it went, and it's gone right up this way, and it's gone over what's needed to be paid. So we can only keep the money in the DIF that's being used to pay. All the extra drops back into the general fund. So it is actually starting to pay huge dividends. And if we didn't do the Hancock Adams Green, if we did not do the moving of Town River, if we did not do all the Crosstown Connector, if we didn't do that, we would have never got the development we've gotten. And that was important for the tax rate. It was important. And then there's also the thing that we have a housing crisis. Prices are going up because there's a limited supply of housing. And these and everyone says, well, is anyone in them? They're full.
Well, they wouldn't build them if there weren't people who live in them.
And there's plenty of people that want to live in them. And I mean, I don't support when you go into neighborhoods. And I, one of the things I try to stress is any of these, anything you're doing down here, like it's for soil removal that's contaminated down there, that has to be removed. Get, you know, it's in the interest, health and safety of everyone in the city, so do it. There are other infrastructure for wiring, for gas lines, for all this, things that are well over 100 years old that need to be replaced. that's where I think it can also get money from the ARPA funds.
Okay.
You know, those are things, but those will benefit everyone, because when you put the new mains in, anyone who lives around there, it's going to benefit them.
I guess, and you hear it all the time, I'm sure, is, you know, why do my taxes keep going up if all this development is happening? Why isn't it benefiting
It's a tough equation. Yeah. It's kind of almost you want your values to go up, but when your values go up, it also pushes up the tax. I mean, that's the Proposition 2.5 formula. And a lot of people say, oh, it should only go up 2.5. Well, Proposition 2.5 says you can only go up 2.5% on your values. So when the values skyrocket, the taxes go up. It's kind of a catch-22.
It is, right.
And you know, it's funny, certain things people want, and you hear from people, and the things they want the most, so like the schools, the streets to be safe, the lights to be on, they turn on the faucet, they flush the toilet, they want all that stuff done.
Yes.
And that's where the vast
majority, the trash picked
all,
up, right?
You all want, our money's going.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it's going. It's going for things like that. It's when the rubber hits the road.
Yeah, it's a tough balancing act.
A balancing act, and you know, I would have liked to have seen a little less on the taxes this year.
Yeah.
But anything we would have cut, we would have been into our core services. I feel you always, when you start the budget, I think the school department does a good job when they do their budget. They start with the core services and go out. And that, when I look at the budget for the city, same way I look at it, you start with the core services and you spread out at that point, and we're spending the money on the core services right now,
which are getting more expensive by the minute, right?
Yeah, and some of it, a lot of what we had negotiated, pay increases that were going to happen, increases in health insurance, increases in overall costs. Most of what is in the city budget is employees. A lot of it is done by employees.
People make the city run, right?
Yeah.
Any indication as to what the next year's tax rate will look right?
No, I know it starts in the mayor's office. It's crazy at this point because you don't know what the costs are going to be. You don't know what's going to hit you. So that won't start. When you get to like into September and they certify your tax rate, they certify all those things, and then you start to know how much money you have and don't have and all that, then the actual budget process starts in the fall.
Yes.
You know, for the next year.
For the next fiscal year, yeah, right.
Yeah, so, and you know, having been a department head, you know, I know if you start in the fall and you're a department and you're looking for money in your budget, that's when you start saying, I need this for this and this, and that's when you have to start
prioritize, right?
Anticipating, and then when you get to the first of the year, then you get the call from the mayor's office to put the things together, and then you put it together.
Right.
Then it goes through, and I've never sent it up with some things were cut, some things remained in, and it was like, it's a long, involved process.
Yes.
I mean, at the council level, we get it. We're the kind of the end of the process.
Right. It's already kind of been calculated.
It's been calculated, and it's going to be given to you. You know, but still, it's good to always have we're another set of eyes that peer through it and say, is this a priority? Is this something we should be doing? Is this something we shouldn't be doing?
Yes.
And you got to look at those things, and that's what the council, I think, did a good job this year going through the budget and going over it. And really, there was a lot of some councils had cuts, but again, if it goes near the core services, I'm not gonna cut it. And I think sometimes, you know, people think that, oh, if we do this, we do that. And I always say, what happens after I do it?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the result? And you have to take it from there.
Take off your Finance Committee Chairman hat for a minute. Put on your Ward 5 City Council hat. What's going on in Ward 5, Chuck?
There's a lot of different things. I mean, you know, there's a lot of work going on up at the hospital right now. Which is, has been a constant with the neighborhood and all that. Some of it's been good. Some of it's been, you know, there's been some problems. It's been making sure they're doing what they said they were going to do. So that's a lot of it right now. I get a lot of calls from neighbors and everything up there. You know, I think Fox is trying to be proactive on things, but in the end, it's a big job and things get missed. And, it's a regular visit from the building inspector and the engineer, and everyone are up there on a constant basis. And, you know, it's it's a big job going on, and we've looked at doing some traffic improvements down at the end of Whitwell and in Adams Street, and that's kind of, we had a preliminary meeting with some people from the Hospital Hill Association, but there will be another meeting coming up with other people on whether we put lights there or put a traffic circle.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple of things that we've already looked at and run by some people that we're going to be sitting down talking. So that's kind of big in that area. And then if you go down to, you know, Wollaston Center is going on, unfortunately. I do own a business in Wollaston Center, and I've been advised by the state that I cannot get involved in it. But one of the projects that went in that seemed to have a lot of the neighbors, there's some concerns on traffic and parking.
That's always, right?
Always going to happen. Yeah. But the area between Cushing Street, there's a sushi place there, but it used to be Barry's Deli.
Sure.
I'm dating myself.
And I know it too.
Then you go all the way down to Newcomb Farms, which actually the facade's still there, so you can take right before the Wollaston Library.
Yes.
That whole block, and that was approved by the planning board.
Yes.
And they're going to be moving forward on that. I got to really thank Councilor Yang. She notified all the neighbors. She did a lot to, as a councilor at large, she's been really good in helping the ward councilors with a lot of their issues and getting the information out to people.
And making sure it's communicated to all ethnicities,
she does an excellent job on that because, you know, the Wollaston area is a very, very diverse neighborhood.
Sure.
And you know, I congratulate Councilor Yang because she's taken the lead on making sure that it not only is it sent out and it's also sent out in other languages so people can read it and understand it, because it will have an effect. And that's the first project. And she got notices out to everybody. And I said, use my mailing budget, do whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
And so I got to really congratulate her on getting and really keeping the neighborhood informed on what's going on.
Yeah, it's a mixed project, residential and some retail, right?
Yeah, I think the plan that's coming down from the city is they want to have on the first floor retail. Mm-hmm. They don't want to lose that retail
thing. The storefront aspects. Yeah.
One of the things I did put my two cents in on everything, because I was concerned when I first came in, and there was a couple of very big projects with hardly any parking.
Yep.
And I'm looking, and I look at some projects that were done, and some of them that were given these parking breaks for transit development oriented, all as I do is get calls from people looking for overnight parking stickers to park in the street.
Is that right?
And I'm like, we're giving out parking stickers, and the whole premise of the project was that no one was going to have cars,
right?
And that just doesn't happen. I found that out the hard way with a lot of these buildings.
Yeah. No, I mean, you may commute public transportation to work and back, but then you have a whole other life that you need a car.
Yeah, and people come back and they grab their cars.
Right.
They leave their cars in the street, and if you go up some of these areas where all the cars are parked in the street, and it's almost impassable, and then the police will come down and ticket them, and TPAL will come down and ticket them. And all of a sudden they're going, well, counselor, why did I get a ticket? And I'm like, and why can't I get an overnight parking sticker? Well, your person in your unit agreed that there would be no overnight parking stickers. That was the whole premise on this thing being built. And I think you got to be careful, because if you build some of these things and there is parking, it's absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it, as you say, it spills out into the residential neighborhoods.
And one of the things is I also support some of the things that have been done by our peer reviewers looking at some of these projects, that engineering firms that do a deep dive into it. And there is a lot of infrastructure that needs to be replaced in Wollaston. I mean,
just like Quincy Center, right?
You're looking at pipe, sewer, water pipes, gas lines, different things down there that have been in the ground for over 100 years.
Yep.
And would have trouble servicing
a new facility.
And I mean, you know, I remember like behind where 80 Clay Street is, it used to be a parking lot where I used to play street hockey in, and behind that there was a swamp where I used to come home from St. Anne's and catch frogs.
Is that right?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different things that have been piped underground, and that has to be looked at and taken as part of it. I know even when we had some of the meetings with the neighbors on it, those things were brought up. It can be dry for weeks, And there are still some puddles in areas where, like CVS is, where the Walston Wine is, and where the repair shop is. There are some puddles that are there all the time.
Just low-lying
areas. And it's not from the rain.
Yeah.
You know?
It's groundwater.
So it's groundwater seeping up. So anything done there has to take that into consideration.
Well, I mean, that was a major issue with the old T station, as we know. Yeah. It's still a problem, not to the extent that
I believe it's Sachem Brook. I'm not sure of the brook.
Okay.
There is a brook going under there. Having been around a long time, I feel like I'm talking like an old man sometimes. But I remember pedaling my bike to Coke Club over at Marymount Field, over at Montclair Field, and running by a stream that was where they were building the new train station, which was 1970, and running by that stream. So that stream went somewhere. So there's a lot of things underground, and those are sometimes things that can come back, even in a zoning board or a conservation commission, somebody trying to build, and there's an easement in their backyard, and it's because there's a brook that was piped under years ago.
Yeah.
And we also got a lot of work going on in Ward 5 where they're doing a lot of streets and sidewalks.
Yes.
And some of the streets they're doing, particularly Phillips down, and there's a stream that runs under there, and they're repointing some of the drainage and stuff like that, which will help when they get a bad rainstorm, that street can fill up.
Yes, okay, yep. Goes right down to Quincy Ave in some cases.
Yeah, and people will call me and say, hey, I'm talking Phillips Street, not Phipps Street.
Oh, Phillips, okay.
I have them both in my ward,
by
the
right,
way.
Yes.
But, this is down in Wollaston off of Elm Ave. And so there's a lot of that work going on. And the good news is it's taking care of some streets that, and I can go back a long way with the city, that have not been touched in 50, 60, 70 years. So unfortunately, there's a few more I'd like to do too. It's a good thing it's a 5-year plan, because next year we'll be putting together a whole new plan for next year too.
Okay. But first things first, you have to start.
First things, you got to start doing
underneath and build up. Yeah.
And try, and that's what a lot of these are doing. We did Sims Road and Perry Road, and when we did Sims, it didn't just go in and repave and put sidewalks. It also went under and fixed. There was an old pipe that used to go out to Black's Creek that had totally crushed, and that used to take care of the runoff and the drainage, so the street was backing up.
Okay.
And some of the storm drains that were on pilings had been. They were never on pilings. That was a problem. They sunk. So what happened was the drainage system totally collapsed. And when it was repaved and streets done, we redid that. So a lot of this is looking at the streets as a whole.
Yep.
We don't want to come back 2 years from now after we've paid all this money to repave and do sidewalks and it just to dig it all up again.
Right.
So what they've been doing as they've been doing the streets is NGRID is alerted. They come in. If they need to do any sewer, if they need to do any gas lines or electric or anything like that, they do it before we come in. And then we're looking at it with a GIS now that they have. They have the dates on all the water mains. They know when they were put in. They know their condition because they camera them on a regular basis when they're older. So they know where everything is. And if we're going to do this street, let's do the sewer, let's do the water, let's get a new gas line down. And that affects everyone, because those things, although small, affect even the streets around them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because there's new infrastructure available.
Yeah. Do you anticipate community meetings coming up, Chuck, or virtual meetings? Are you in person now? Or?
I think we're going to be doing in person.
Oh,
I think with the lower transmission and everything like that, and we're going to get back to doing in-person meetings, which I quite frankly prefer.
Yeah.
But I think it's been, the Zooms, I did a lot of neighborhood meetings on Zoom, and they actually were still able to get the word out. Mm-hmm. In good weather, I would always try to meet on the street.
Sure.
Sometimes if it was a zoning or a planning board issue, we'd meet on the street with the people and let them know what's going on.
Yeah.
We still have constant letters going out all the time. So, that's pretty much, we're continuing to work that way, and it's... I prefer an in-person meeting, but it's sometimes kind of the world we're living in.
Yes,
certain ones are still, when you go into a medical facility, you still have a mask on and all that. So, I'm just hoping we can start to put some of this stuff behind us and get back to maybe a little normalcy.
Yeah. Anything else we'd like to touch on right now? I think we had a lot of information.
Yeah,
in
there's
short
a lot of
time.
Information.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a... there's a lot going on. I mean, you know, it's constant with everything. And, you know, right now, I think we hit on a lot of the major issues. I mean, there are always going to be issues coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's
one at a time, right?
One at a time. Yeah. You know,
how do folks reach out to you, by the way? It's a good way to get a hold of
My email, which is Chuck Phelan. A lot of people try to send C. Phelan, which was my email when I was a department head, which no longer exists. So Chuck Phelan at QuincyMA.gov.
Okay.
And then my phone number that goes to a cell phone is 617-376-1355.
Okay, great.
And if you go on the website, mm-hmm. that email does get to me. I mean, it's a little different than the way it used to be, but still you can always call the council office and they'll send to me right away.
They're great. I deal with them all the
time. A lot of people know where I am anyway, so they usually track me down. I mean, end of June, I'll be back in my house. So I'll be back on Fennel Street. So people usually stop me in front of my house.
Do they really?
Yeah, so I'm sure they probably have missed that over the last couple of months when I had to be out. But every once in a while, I'll be there with the contractor and somebody will pull me aside and say, hey, I got to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's
the life of a ward council.
Yeah, it doesn't upset me at all. I try to do, and there's always a little issue somewhere that you have to treat. But those issues can turn into big issues for people, and so you try to. What's important to some people isn't important to other people. Mm-hmm. But you try to look and make sure that the city. I've always tried to make sure that the Ward 5 area is getting their share of the city services and things are coming in that deserve to come into the ward. So yep. I try to. It's constant.
Appreciate you coming in today. It's great to talk to you.
No, not a problem, Joe. Thank you.
We'll have you back again, too.
Yeah. No, I'd love to.
Thank you for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.